You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Evan HaEzer, Simon Aleph, Se'if Yud, which is a discussion of the permission, or the not permission, depending on how we go, of polygamy, Bizman HaZeh. Now, we know that polygamy is illegal, and therefore I'm not going to suggest that anybody should violate any of their local legal codes. But at the same time, we have to see, what does halacha say about polygamy, which we know, of course, is mutter from the Torah. Our avos were involved with polygamy and for many generations. In fact, there are countries, almost all countries now prohibit polygamy, but I believe where my in-laws live in Ramot Bet, in Yerushalayim, there is an elderly gentleman who emigrated from Iraq with his two wives to Ramot. And I think the two wives actually still, I think they still married the two wives in Yerushalayim. That he's a very elderly man. I think he came from, I don't remember if it's Iran or Iraq. And my in-laws see firsthand, I think, the two wives sitting next to each other in shul, which is just something that is so foreign from our Ashkenazid minds and sensibilities, but it is for real. And the question is, what happens according to halacha? According to halacha, if halacha recognizes that the country does not allow polygamy, does that mean that halacha also prohibits polygamy? Or, you know, each one to its own, each kalachan l'chud. There's halacha which permits it, and then perhaps you might have secular which prohibits it, but, you know, you could. There are plenty of people who are living with each other and not civilly married. So maybe if you could get around the civil restrictions if you're just not civilly married, but you could still be practicing polygamy from a halakhic perspective. Is that okay? Is it not okay? What about certain circumstances where there are person would only be living with one, but legally or halakhically they're married to two? That could be a very situation. Of course, we're going to not really get into Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon. That will be next week's topic. Fundamental. We might touch a little bit, but Rabbi Gershom says that you can't have two wives. Well, maybe there are some situations where you can. So that's the topic of this morning's shiur, Bez Hashem. So let me share with you my screen, and let's begin. So, what are the parameters of polygamy? So first of all, it's important to know, my son has a test on Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph this week, and he pointed out that there's my son told me, as he saw what I was talking about, the Radak. The Radak on the Pasuk, the very beginning of Malachim Perek Aleph talks about David being elderly, and they found for him a sochenes, somebody who would be able to keep him warm in his elder years when he wasn't able to be warmed by clothing for whatever reason, not our topic. And they found a young lady named Avishag, and she was a sochenes for him. And the pasuk testifies that David HaMelech did not maintain any intimacy with her. The question would be, if it's necessary for him to have a woman to serve him and to be with him and to provide physical warmth for him, why don't they just get married? Wouldn't that be easier than having this sort of unmarried, I mean, she was Tahora perhaps, but why would they have this unmarried woman provide this service to provide him warmth? Just, you know, let him just get married. After all, it's mutter, isn't it? So Radak there points out, the Chazal were bothered by that. And the Radak points out that he already had his quota. He already maxed out. David HaMelech, by the time you know, he was already older, he already had his 18 wives, and he was already at the point of lo yabir lo nashim, and therefore he was only allowed to have 18. And Avishag would have been number 19, which would be an issa d'oraisa for David HaMelech to marry, and therefore he had to have her serve him to provide that physical warmth without marrying her, because were there to be a marriage, it would be a violation of lo yabir lo nashim. That's why they had to leave it at this leave her as a sochenes, somebody who warmed him without actually having the opportunity to marry her and to have. The pasuk says they didn't because they weren't married. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a historical background. The pasuk, of course, tells us, and this is going to be the topic of our shir, that if a person is going to take a second wife upon their first wife, the Torah is very makbid macheres yikach lo. The husband has to make sure that he does not take away from any of the rights that the first wife has. Lo she'irak susav onasa lo yikra. The husband who has three responsibilities to his wife, who's a wife of nisuin, right? These are not things for erusin, but for nisuin, this she'irak susav onasa, which is emotional, physical, and emotional, providing for physically and emotionally, providing for financially, providing for her clothes and food. So he's not allowed to take an additional wife if he won't be able to provide those things to his first wife. You can't take another wife and not do your responsibilities to your first wife. That's a pasuk in Chumash. So that, of course, will be the guiding post to, even if we are allowed, even if polygamy is mutter, it's only going to be mutter if you could afford it. If you could afford it emotionally, and if you could afford it financially. But let's say a person could afford it financially, emotionally, so then what are the parameters? That's what we really have to uncover. So the Gemara Yevamos makes an interesting comment. I'm going to be Amikola Nosi Isha Lishta. If you marry to a woman, and then you decide to marry another, a second woman, Yotzi, Vitin Ksuva. You have to actually divorce your first one and give her ksuva, pay up, because you took the second wife. Meaning, even though the Torah permits it, it's untenable. Comes Rava, I don't know if we pass like that. Rava says, what are you talking about? You could bring in a number of wives. You don't have to be limited to one wife. You could have a number of wives, for who, as long as the islay, you have the means, to feed them. If you could feed them, then you could take numerous women. So that's, of course, how we do Paskin and Mikra Hatin. One is permitted to have multiple wives as long as he could take care of them. Are there any limits? We know that the king has a pasuk that says lo yabir lo nashim. That's for a king. But what about a regular person? Does a regular person have an iser of lo yabir lo nashim? Not that I know of. I don't think so. So the Gemara in Yevamah says, even though there's no halacha that limits the number of wives a person could take, nevertheless, Eitza Tova, the Gemara in Yevamah says, Dalit, Eitza Tova Kamash Malon, Dalit in, Tveilo. The Eitza, the Chazal suggest, is that a person shouldn't have more than four wives. Now you'd think, oh, because, you know, like Yaakov, you should be no more than Yaakov. No, nothing to do with Yaakov. It's a very technical point, and it's subject to a differentiation based on circumstances, as the Gemara concludes. Kihechi, so that dinimtaye ona b'chodesh, there can arrive to them that each woman could get ona b'chodesh, that her husband could be with her intimately at least once a month. What does that mean? Well, to understand what the limit of, or the suggestion of not having more than four, we have to know what the mitzvah of ona is. The mitzvah of ona for a husband to provide the emotional and the physical comfort in an intimate way depends on who the husband is. Meaning, the Gemara says, which we're not going to talk about now, the Gemara, I think, Ksuvah, if I don't remember where, talks about different professions. If, for example, somebody is a sailor, and he's home not often, he's not home too often. So if a woman marries a sailor, she's only going to expect to that her husband will be with her. You know, I don't know, he goes on six-month trips, so every 6 months he'll spend the night with her. And that's what she has to expect because she married a sailor. If she marries a guy who sits home and does nothing all day long, so she has a right to assume that he'll be with her every night because he's not doing anything with his life. If she marries a guy who's a traveling salesman and he goes away on two-week business trips, so she has the right to assume that her husband will be with her every 2 weeks when he comes back from his business trips. What about a Talmud Chacham? So here, Rashi points out, as Chazal say, Ona shel Talmud Chacham erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. We assume that a Talmud Chacham is going to be with his wife every Friday night. That's what we assume is the way that a Talmud Chacham would carry himself. So if that's the case, if we're going to be speaking about Talmidei Chachamim, so how many wives could a Talmud Chacham have? Let's think for a second. Let's do some math. If a normal woman becomes a nida every 30 days, and it's fair that every period, I shouldn't say that word, every time span that she's permitted to be with her husband, it's fair that she should have the opportunity to be with her husband. She shouldn't have to go a whole month when she's available to be with her husband and not be provided for by her husband. That wouldn't be fair to her. So how could we engineer it that every wife will be able to get something at least once a month, one time that they are in their permissible time span? So if he's a Talmid Chacham, let's talk about Talmid Chachamim now, a nice from Jew who doesn't have any crazy jobs, who will be with his wife at least, you know, every Friday night. So if he has one wife, so he'll be with her four times a month. If he has two wives, he'll be with each twice a month. If he has four wives, he could be with each once a month. What we see here is something interesting. We see here something very interesting. The amount of ona that a man is responsible to his multiple wives depends not on the number of wives, listen to this point, because this is a point that you might not think otherwise, but it depends on who the person is. If a person is a profession that has to have, that should be providing his wife every week, so he has to provide his wife every week. If there's one wife, it'll be his one wife every week. If there are two wives, it'll be every other week. If there are four wives, it'll be to each wife once a month. The man determines how much ona he is responsible to provide. If, for example, you had a guy who's a sailor who has two wives, we assume sailors are with the wife every 6 months because they travel for 6 months. So if he has one wife, he has to be with her twice a year. If he has two wives, he has to be with her, with each wife, once a year. If he has four wives, if you have a sailor who has four wives, how many times does he have to be with each wife? Once every 2 years. You hear that? We determine the amount of responsibility that a man has towards his family based on what his availability is. If he's only available every 1 day every 6 months, that's all he's responsible to his family. If his family is only one wife, so he'll be with his wife every 6 months. If he has four wives, then he'll be with each wife once every 2 years, which is wild. Again, I don't know any sailors. And even if I did know a sailor, actually I do know a sailor. A student of mine was a sailor in the Navy. But other than him, I don't know any sailors.
And as you understand, she has nothing to say about subsequent wives. She marries him as a sailor, and she's entitled to once every 6 months. Now, without her consulting, if he takes another wife, and now she's reduced to once a year. How did that happen? Where did she allow that when she married him? It was every 6 months.
That's a good question. I think we're going to answer your question. I think you are clearly a fan of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami, the Gemara Yevamah Samachei, what Aleph said, Kol Hanosi Isha Elishto, she has a certain expectation, and now all of a sudden, the attention that she's going to be getting is halved, H-A-L-V-E-D. So she says, I want out. So she has every right to step out. That's she's real. Getting half of the attention, right? It's like, you know what it's like? Not Lahavdil, it's very similar. You have a couple has their first kid, and they dote on the kid, and he's so cute, and they spend a video to their grandparents of every little thing that's, you know, amazing how this little, you know, 6-month-old, 1-year-old could, wow, he took a step, wow, he, you know, climbed up a step, wow, he, you know, said hello, wow, he ate a chocolate chip cookie, wow, he, you know, took a bath. It's the most incredible thing. And then, you know, a few months later, guess who comes? Guess who arrives? Baby number two. And all of a sudden, that first baby is like, hey, what happened to me? You know, why? I used to be cute. I used to be get your attention. And now, and of course, that's when they get that streak of their personality, that anger streak comes out when all of a sudden they're not getting the attention that they once got. You're saying that that's nothing, that's not just a child. When they have a second child born in the family, that happens to every woman. When a second wife will be brought in, all of a sudden the first wife says, hey, I'm being shortchanged. Whatever I was expecting when I came to this marriage, I'm now only going to get half as much. Okay. So,
Rabbi, the case of four wives, it's also going to be dependent on their cycles and their availability. Number one,
yeah, that's going to be a complicated. Yeah, you need to make an algorithm to make that work. You're 100% right.
And if I'm not mistaken, usually when women live together, the cycles tend to harmonize with each other. Pheromones, they end up having the periods at the same time.
That's wild. That's incredible. That will make life very complicated. Yes, that's an incredible thing, and that would make life very complicated. I've never been asked such a shyla, so I can't tell you I have experience in this matter, but I guess that's a good thing. But let's go. This sugi will unfold, and it's a fascinating sugi because it's a little bit counterintuitive. It's not exactly what we would have thought, I think, as you're realizing. Because you would have thought if you have one wife, you're with her once a week. If you have two wives, then you have to be with each wife once a week. And we're seeing in the halacha that is not the case. We're seeing that that's not the case. That if your talmid chacham is supposed to provide for your family once a week, so you only have to provide your services once a week. Whether it's a one wife or if you have four wives, then each one will have to wait till it's their turn for you to provide, for the husband to provide his services. Okay, but let's take a step further before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. There's a Ritva. The Ritva quotes his Rebbeim. There's a Ritva in Yevamos Daf Mem Daled who says the following. Note, I will not be saying for the rest of today, we will not be mentioning anything about Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom until we finish this discussion. Later, tomorrow, next week, maybe at the very end today, we'll start it. We're not going to be talking about Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom was a very specific takana at a certain point in history. We're not getting into that. Okay, we're just talking about the halacha, shas, and how the Rishonim understand the shas. Comes the Ritzvah and says, you know, I have a tradition from my Rebbeim. The b'makom the following. The b'makom shenagu, shelo lisa el isha achas, in a place where the custom is, well, like where we live in America, whether it's the law or even if it's not the law, it's just not what's done. Shelo lisa el isha achas, ein lo rishos lisa achas al ishto. Because, as Mr. Bergman said just 2 minutes ago, the umdunat muchachu, if a woman gets married in a community, in a society, where people don't take a second wife, they come in with a certain assumption. Their assumption is, I'm going to marry a man, and he's going to be mine and provide to me whatever. If I'm marrying him as a talmid chacham, he'll be with me every week. If he just sits home doing nothing because he had a big inheritance and he just sits at home, doesn't go to work, he'll be with me every night because there's nothing else to do. If he's a sailor, he'll be with me twice a year. If she goes into the marriage in a community where no one takes a second wife, she's assuming, I'm going to be getting a certain amount of attention. It's a clear understanding. She married him with this presupposition, with this assumption. That this guy, if we live in a community where nobody takes a second wife, she has every right to assume that my husband, my chassan, is not going to take a second wife. And therefore, why can't he say, okay, she assumed. Why? I don't have to be bound because she assumed something. I never said I wouldn't take another wife. I never promised I wouldn't take another wife. She assumed. Why do I have to be bound by what she assumes? Says the Ritva, because then you know it would be? It would be like a case of a woman who marries a fellow who's let's say he's a traveling salesman, and he goes away every 2 weeks. So she assumes she'll be with him every 2 weeks. And then he decides midlife that he wants to become a sailor. He has a midlife crisis, and he says, you know what, I've really always wanted to be a sailor. I was nervous it would be too hard for me. I want to live my dream. I want to become a sailor. And I'm only going to be home twice a year, every 6 months. He's not allowed to do that. Why? Because he's meshubed to his wife, who assumed that he was a traveling salesman, and he'll be home every 2 weeks. And now in the middle of his life, he wants to become a sailor and be home every 6 months. That's not okay. Just like we see that a husband is not allowed to change his job to a job that will make him less available to his family, so too, using the same logic, says the Rebbeim of the Ritva, a woman who assumes that she's going to be the only wife, the husband can't take a second wife because she's getting less than she assumed that she should be receiving. So let's think about this from a practical perspective. Let's say you have a guy, and I know family in the neighborhood, complicated situation because a job was a little shaky. Let's say you have a guy, she marries a guy, and he works in the city. And he decides that he wants to have, you know, after marriage a few years, and at some point he decides he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't like this job working in the city. He's going to get a job working for a different company, a different field. It happens to be the headquarters of that other company is in Cincinnati. So now all of a sudden, he's going to go to Cincinnati Monday morning through Thursday night. And she used to him be at home, being home all week long. And now he's moved to Cincinnati 5 days a week. He'll be home for the weekend. So he's in Cincinnati 4 days a week. Does he have the right to do that? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so. Obviously, if his wife, you know, wants her husband to make a better living or to be able to have a job and it's worth it for her, and, you know, depending on the kid's situation, how old the kids are, how much help she needs, she has the right to, be mevater, be mochel, and what she owes to her.
With Kusa in this case?
What?
He owes her a parnasa too.
He also had a parnasa. Yeah.
This is a shortage of jobs in many situations where you just can't find something.
100%. 100%. But let's say he wants to do it on his own, not because of the money, but because he wants to live out his life dream.
In Cincinnati.
Away 3,000 miles away from his wife and kids. So does he have the right to do that? To live his dream.
Didn't have a shaita, perhaps? A little bit mentally unstable, maybe?
Everybody has their dream. Look, I have a student who always dreams of becoming a pilot, and he said, you know, there are a lot of obstacles for a person to become a pilot, and he just wants to be a pilot. And he's in pilot school right now because that's his dream. We live in very sheltered communities, but if you grew up in a big world where, you know, anything is a possibility, there are lots of, you know, there are people who want to be astronauts. My mother works at Stern College. She says there's a student there at Stern College who wants to become an astronaut.
I actually do know a couple from pilots. One, two, three, at least four or five.
Wow. Okay.
Commercial pilots? Wow.
Not commercial pilots, but private pilots.
Okay.
My wife was born in Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay, there we go. So look, everybody has a dream, and some people's dreams are, you know, not in the tri-state area. So as much as we think the whole world is a tri-state area, it's not really the case. So could she be ma'akiv him? So according to this, let's think. If the halach is, again, Chazal say, look at these five words, a chamer, a man who drives a donkey who's home, let's say, I don't remember the exact numbers, who's home, let's say, every week, is not allowed to become a gamel, a camel driver who drives to the desert and is home every month. He's not allowed to change his job because she came in assuming he'll be home weekly. Now he's home only every few weeks. That's not okay. Based on that, the Rebbeim of the Ritva extend that halacha that's written in Shas to a halacha that's not to a question that's not in Shas. Can a man take a second wife? So he says, the Rebbeim of the Ritva say that if the assumption was when she got married that he's not going to be taking more wives, then if he takes more wives, I'm going to get less than what I've expected, just like he can't change from a chamer to a gamel. He can't change somebody who's available, you know, once a week to somebody who's only available once a month. If another wife will be taken, it will be changing what I'm supposed to be getting from once a week to every other week, because there's this other wife that has to be provided for. And therefore, she could protest. But that's only when it's a community, a city, where it's a makom that their minhag is not to take more. But if you live in Iraq, where it is accustomed to have multiple wives, where polygamy is practiced, so a woman gets married, and she has her husband all to herself. You know, 3 kids later and 5 years later, the husband's ready for something, for a new flavor. Well, sorry, lady, you know, you live in a place where it's normal for a husband to take another wife, then you're not, you know, if that's the way it happens in this society, so she's in trouble. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that in a society where that is to possibly be expected, she doesn't have the claim that I expected to get all the attention, and it's not fair that you're taking the attention away from me. That's what the Rebbeim of the Ritva say.
I recall hearing a Farish Kasuba read, which prohibits this for the first 10 years or some such thing. And thereafter, because they don't regard themselves as a Meshubah, I'm sorry to mention it, to Rabbeinu Gershom. So it's in their Ksuba. I think the said first.
So obviously, years, if he makes a commitment in his Ksuba that he won't take another wife, then even if, so he made a commitment. So
I think it's only the first 10 years, by the way.
Okay, so that will be, whatever he committed to. Okay, so now we saw the background. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch itself. Comes the Shulchan Aruch, this is the Nusif that we're up to. Shulchan Aruch Seif Tes. No say Adam Kamanashim. A man is permitted to marry multiple wives as long as the Pasuk tells us, he is able to provide Basi Pukayu with their sustenance. This is according to the Gemara in Yevamis. Not an Isser, but it's a suggestion. Shouldn't have more than 4 wives. Again, this is assuming the person is a Talmud Chacham. And if he's a Talmud Chacham who has to be available once a week, let's say Friday night, so he'll make sure that each one is provided for once a month. Okay, we're going to see more about this a little bit later in the Shulchan Aruch. And of course, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is like this tradition from the Rebbeim of the Ritva that we saw a moment ago. In those communities where the minhag is taka only to have one wife, then he's not allowed to have more than one wife. Okay, that's as far as background. Now let me raise the following question. I call this question the inverse Shidduch crisis. Let me explain to you what I mean. Nowadays, it seems, at least in our community, that it's sometimes hard for a woman to find a guy. And therefore, let's say a girl who's having a hard time getting a date, she would get a date, she would be, you know, read a boy who doesn't really have such a good parnasa. You know, really, she's accustomed to a little bit more. But, you know, if she's, you know, has a hard time getting a date, she'd be willing to stretch herself even to a guy who doesn't really have such a good job. He's been unemployed for the past, you know, 3 years. But okay, we'll give him a try. Why? Because she doesn't have so many dates. But what if it would be the exact opposite? And I think in the Hasidic world, some parts of the Hasidic world, this is the case. The boys have a hard time getting a date. And the boys have to compete. And therefore, if the boys have to compete,
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Maybe in the Hasidic world, the boys do have a hard time getting a date.
Maybe I'm presenting this
major
wrong.
Major issue here, a lot of older Bachram.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I presented it wrong. Let me backtrack a minute. Let's say, again, let's talk about what is called the Shidduch crisis. whether it's a crisis or not, let's not discuss that. Let's not get into the societal issues. Let's say you have a woman who really wants to get married, and she's willing to take a guy who doesn't have a job, doesn't have a good job, because she wants to get married. How about this? Let's say there's a woman who wants to be taken care of. She's willing to take a husband who won't even provide for her, she's the owner. She just wants to get married. All of her friends are married. So even if this guy doesn't have enough, you know, there's a guy down the block. He seems nice. He has a wife or two already, but you know what? I want to get married. I'm happy to let myself be the third cog of the wheel, even if he can't provide for me. You know why? Because I want to get the MRS title. I want to get the MRS degree. You know about the MRS degree? I want to get the MRS degree. And in order for me to get the MRS degree, I need a guy who's going to say, yes, I don't need
Oh, no, you can't be married.
Okay, so let's see. We're going to talk about that right now. This is a question the Chalkas Mechokik raised. We just said, the Shulchan Aruch said explicitly that a person could only take an additional wife if he could provide financially and emotionally for the additional woman. But what happens if a woman, can a woman be mocheles? This right, the new woman on the block will say, I'll be your new wife. Please take me, take me, take me. I want to be married already. All my friends from Saturday, they're all married. I'm not. Please take me. Even if you don't provide for me the things that I'm that I have a right to according to the Torah, the Shekhs Vona. Can she be mocheles that? Let's see that. Let's see. The Chalkas Mechokik and the Shulchan Aruch, again, Chalkas Mechokik lived in the 1600s. He's the main parish on the Shulchan Aruch of Ezer. Says the following, Yeshlis topic. He's presented as a geshmaka, you know, brisker chakira. What is it that, is it from her perspective that we want to protect the woman? But if the woman doesn't mind giving up a little bit of what she deserves, so he presents it a little bit of a twist. Let's say you have a first wife. Could the first wife knows that her husband can't afford anyone else? But she has a really good friend from high school, and she would love her friend to move into the house. So could her friend from high school join the family? And she'll be mocked, you know, my husband can't take care of me and another wife. Could the first wife, I present it a little differently otherwise, could the first wife be mochel on the rights that she has to get from her husband to make space for another woman to come into the house? It sounds very unusual, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. But it will help us understand the nature of the halacha here. Is the nature of the halacha, sher kusus v'ona, a right that a woman has? She has a right to exercise it. But if she's willing to be mochel, she has a right to be mochelit as well. Like many people have rights and they have things come to them, but they have the right for whatever circumstances to forgive that which is coming to them. Or can she claim, or we don't give her the choice. We don't give her the choice. The Torah says you can't take a second wife until you can afford a second wife. If you can't afford a second wife, you have no right to take a second wife. That's the question. So what's the halacha? Says the Chalkas Mechokik. He's a diuk in Rambam. I'm not going to show you the Rambam. It's questionable if it is a diuk in Rambam. He says, Rambam, it's mashma, that it depends on if the first wife wants it or not. Mashma, the Torah barazin ha-nashim. It depends if the wife wants it. If the wife is willing to be mochel, you know what? I'm willing to be married to you even if you don't provide for me. I'm still willing to be married for you. That's a type of, just take me as a wife. Let me stay your wife. Let me be your wife even if you won't provide for me. And says the Chalkas Mechokik that this is an explicit pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk in Yeshaya talks about an unusual time of history. An unusual time of history that one might argue is maybe similar to the time that we live in. Look at this incredible pasuk in Yeshaya. There's going to come a time that seven women will clamor, will reach out to one man. Do me a favor, just marry me. Just say yes to me. Please, just let me get married. Just let me, please, just marry me. Don't give me any money. We'll wear our own clothing. We'll provide, we'll eat our own food. Please gather. I'm so ashamed. I'm the only girl from my high school class that's not married. I'm the only girl from my seminary class, my college class. I'm the only girl. All my friends are married. I'm not. Do me a favor, just marry me. Don't give me money. Don't promise that you'll take care of me. Don't promise that you don't give me clothing to wear. Just let me get married. Already. And the pasuk says that that's not a good thing, but that's a possibility. What do you see? At least in one context, the chodarish of Mount Tanel Kayam. I don't remember who it was who mentioned a few minutes ago, but if this is a financial point, that again, we're not talking about his availability for intimacy, but we're talking about his financial capability of providing for multiple wives. If the wife is willing to give up on the financial support that is due her, that she deserves, and that is coming to her, she's willing to give up on that for whatever the societal or the personal reason may be. She has the right to be mochel. So the Chalkas Mechokik presented Chakira. Could a woman be mochel and allow another wife into her family, even if she will lose the money that she won't be provided for properly? The Torah says you can only take another wife if all the women will be provided for. What if that won't be the case? Could a woman come, you know, still be in this marriage if she will not be provided for financially? Says the Chalkas Mechokik, Smash from the Rambam, and it's an explicit pasuk that yes, a woman, if she so desperately wants to be married or wants to be married to this guy, let's say, you know, sometimes you have a woman who just wants, you know, this guy who's a politician, the guy who's an actor, he's broke, he's in debt, right? Some of the richest people die with the most debt somehow, right? So she doesn't care about his money, she wants the fame, she wants that fortune, whatever it is. She wants to be married to this special family, so she doesn't want to, she doesn't care about the money. She's allowed to. That's what we see. She's allowed to. Okay, that's this chakira of the Chalkas Mechokek and his conclusion that indeed, if she so desires, she's able to give up on her rights to allow allow him to have multiple wives.
But he didn't mention the onah, though. He only mentioned the financial.
Yeah, it seems that is a good point, especially since the Chalkas Mechokek concludes that at least he specifies kol dasha b'mamon to no kaim. It sounds like when it comes to
it's explicit Gemara condition, and then we hold it Rabbi Yehuda. And owner can't be waived, can't be masked, no mashkutar.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point. Yeah, I guess only this only applies to the financial aspect of what he owes his wives, but not the intimate responsibilities. Fine. I made the point earlier because it came up early, but when the Shulchan Aruch said that you should only marry, you shouldn't, that based on the Gemara says you shouldn't marry more than four wives so you could provide each one an owner once a month. So I gave the background. I explained that means that owner is determined not by the woman's needs, but by the man's responsibility. If a man, based on his job, has a responsibility once a month, once a week, I'm sorry, like a Talmud Chacham, so he only has to provide that once a week, even if he has many women, so he'll only provide one of them each week. So if he has 4 weeks, if he has four wives, he'll be able to provide for each woman once a week. And that's what the Beis Shmuel points out, which again, I spoke at already. It says the Beis Shmuel, when do we say that we should only have four wives, so this way you can ensure that each one will get at least once a month? I don't know, Talmud Chacham, the owner shall have a whole Shabbos. I feel yesh to the common nashim, and this is the point, that the interesting point that we would have not thought. Again, we would have thought that if you have many wives, you have to provide each wife with her owner. No, you see, that's not the case. Ain mutal alav owner yoser raka owner mashechayav kish yesh lo ish achas. Whatever your responsibility of owner is, if you have one wife, that's all your responsibility is, even if now you end up having many wives. As we'll see, it's stated even more clearly in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Ketubos, which we'll see in a minute. We'll get there in a moment. Finally, okay. Let's now, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokek say, you know what, you have to learn a little bit more about this topic in Siman Ayin Vav. So let's look a little bit, let's jump from Siman Aleph, where we are, to Siman Ayin Vav, which is Hilchos Ketubos. And there, we'll find some interesting development of these points, which it speaks about these points a little bit more in depth. Says the Gemara, says the Shulchan Aruch, and again, Hilchos Ketubos, Siman Ayin Vav. No se adam kama nashim. How many? Look at what I wrote, look at what I highlighted, Rabbi Ozai. Wow. Afilu Meya. As far as halacha is concerned, if you're not a king has a maximum of 18. But if you're a private resident and you could afford it, afilu Meya, you're allowed to marry even 100. And you could do it all by Basachas, right? You could have one person be Zocha, you know, for 100 people. You could do it by Zachazet. That's not a point. Ve'ein ish to yachal akev. And your wife has no ability to protest. Except, of course, if it's a makam where the minik is otherwise. But if there's no minik otherwise, she can't even protest. As long as you could say, you show her the accounting and you could say, I could afford it. As long as you can provide whatever you have to provide, then she can protest if you want to take another wife. However, we are sensitive, Chazal, very sensitive to women's needs, and say, but you don't have to, she doesn't have to, they don't, you don't, you have no right to bring another wife into her house. You have to get each one their own house. Each one has to get their own house, their own chatzer. It's not like you could be next to, it's not like, yeah, I'm going to bring in another wife, but she'll live next door. No, not even the same chatzer. Why? Why is it, and where do we see that you can't force another wife into the same house? We see it from these parshios. So that's the Chalukas Mechokets. The reason, of course, why you don't bring a wife into the same house is because they should be jealous of. They should be jealous one from another. I know he's, you pay more time to him, more attention to him, to her. You're not paying enough attention to me. We want to prevent kina. And where do we see this from? Our parshios. V'smach l'davar v'ohel Leia v'ohel Rachel v'ohel Shtei Yimahos. Because of Haram and Ramban, the Torah explains kilchol achas me'aban nashim hayohom miyuchad. Each one of the four wives, did you ever wonder why Yaakov, you know, had four tents? I don't know, what about property taxes? Four houses? It's a lot of property taxes in the...
What about intimacy? I mean, how do you manage with another wife in the same room? And we thought it was that way.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay. But he says, Ramban says they had four different tents. Bavur shelo teid l'hacheres. This is the point that you're saying, I guess, Mr. Brinkman, that each one shouldn't know when he's with anyone else. Bavur el ru'usa, Gamasim, we didn't tell you, can't be in the same, you know, the same. It can't be that in the same house he's going to be with one and the other is going to see you. No, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not proper, and therefore each one has to have their own house. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, again, we're no longer in the beginning of Eben Hazar. We jumped to Siman Ayin Vav. This is the Shulchan Aruch speaking. And the Shulchan Aruch says, when a person has multiple wives, how much owner do they each earn? How much owner do they each, are they each provided? He says, based on the calculation, let's see. Poel. a poel, who's a worker who, you know, he goes, you know, he's home every week, he's home every weekend. No, poel, I think, is somebody who's home twice a week. So if he's home twice a week, so he'll give each one of his two wives once a week. Again, we're talking about a poel who's home twice a week. If he's home twice a week, let's do the math before we see the next line. If he's home twice a week and he has four wives, so how often will each wife be with her husband? Well, if he's home twice a week, he only has to, you know, make himself available twice a week. And if he has four wives, he's only going to get to each wife every 2 weeks. Look on the screen. Okay. Let's say this is a crazy case that I told you about the sailor, right? I told you the sailor who's home typically every 6 months, if he has four wives, he's going to be with each one of them every 2 years, as crazy as that is. Not a malach, like not an angel, but a malach is a sailor. Once every 2 years. Okay. Fine. And therefore, Chachamim says that a normal person, well, let's assume, is a Talmud Chacham who's going to be available, who's supposed to be available every Friday night, should have no more than four wives, so each wife should be able to get her husband once a month, once every, you know, veses, to so they should have something at least once a month. That's assuming that he's a Talmud Chacham. And of course, the Shulchan Aruch there concludes, the Metam Amurim, this is all true, where the minhag is to take multiple wives. But if the minhag is, Mangshanagu Shalolisa Elisha Achas, but in America, Rabbi say, in case any of you were considering, you know, practicing the Shir HaLach L'maisa, besides the fact that it would probably be Pikach Nefesh because your wife would beat you to a pulp and then some, it's illegal in America. Polygamy is illegal in America as well as most Western countries, if not almost all Western countries. Unless you have permission from her, you're not allowed to. V'kol shekein, as Mr. Bergman mentioned from the Ksuvah, is that even the Sfaradim who perhaps don't have Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom and therefore allow it halachically, and perhaps even live in lands where it is a possibility. However, if it was specified in the Ksuva that the husband is not to take, part of his responsibility to his wife is that he's not to take another wife upon his first one, then so similarly it will be prohibited. And therefore, halach l'maisa rabosai, sorry, I know you might have come into the shir, you know, hoping for a kula. No, Rabbi Roland does not come through this week. And since it is illegal where we live to marry multiple wives, even halachically, polygamy will be usher in America. And a person would have to, you know, travel to some, you know, third world country where it is legal. And there, if it is legal, then it will be legal according to halacha, except for the discussion of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, which we will maybe we'll see Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom next week. That's a whole segment b'fnei atzmo. A few things about Rabbeinu Gershom. The history is going to be important because for next week we're going to have to know that Rabbeinu Gershom wasn't just a takana; it was a chayrim. Now, a chayrim has its own parameters. And the chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom that he said that you can't have multiple wives is going to be based on the certain historical points, and that's something that Be'ez Hashem will see next week, the parameters of chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, and we'll have to see a number of things about chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Two of the main things will be, number one, does chayim Rabbeinu Gershom have an expiration date? If so, when is it? Number two, does chayim Rabbeinu Gershom apply all over the world or only in certain communities or only in his own community? Number three, does chayim Rabbeinu Gershom apply in all circumstances? Or could there be a situation when, let's say, whatever the issue is, I'm not able to have, let's say, for whatever reason, I have a wife who's in jail. So this Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom says, oh, you shouldn't have two wives. But if one of them anyway is in jail on a life sentence, she's never coming out. No possibility of parole. She killed too many people. So now my wife is in jail forever, and I'm never going to be with her. So does Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom apply there? Is it across the board, or are there exceptions? What about Yibam? Let's say I'm married, and a Yivama falls to me. Would Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom even prevent me from doing the mitzvah of Yibam to take a second wife, which according to the Torah law is totally mutter, and a mitzvah? Would Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom work in those cases? So those are actually four different kinds of shilas that we're going to have to talk about next week. What are the parameters of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom? And that's an incredible topic. That's going to be a very gishmak, very fascinating from a historical perspective, fascinating from a halachic perspective, and that, Be'ez Hashem, will be next week.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.